B-Pod Studios.
Got a DIY project? Tony Maz and Dan O'Brien can help with the Tool Bags Podcast. Tweet them at Toolbags985 with your question. You can listen now on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com, the Sports Hub app, and wherever you download podcasts.
Boston's home for sports. Pure and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A move, left circle, fires, he scores! Shout! Second of the night, he cranked it onto the crossbar! 4-1 Bruins. Bruins win the faceoff, going to work on the power play. They're 0-for-1 tonight. Far side, now to the far circle, Marchand to Pasternak. Wires, he scores! David Pasternak whistles it in from long range. A power play strike, his league-leading 10th. 3-1 Bruins.
As you know, we let a couple get away recently, and especially the Florida ones. So we wanted to learn from that and put it behind us, and I think we did against Washington. Even though they tied it up, I thought we played, you know, fairly stingy. And tonight we had a chance to extend a lead in the power play. We simplified, got it to the net, and then, you know, took advantage of our opportunities. And I thought we did a good job.
Thanks. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We got Patriots tickets for this Sunday's game to give away at 9:30. You can see the Bankroll Boys, who are in the middle of trying to get shirts produced. They are going to be out there tailgating.
We'll know a specific location soon, right?
Soon, yes.
Okay, well, that would be good. I would love nothing more than for you guys to be mobbed out there.
Right? Has anyone talked to Andy Wong about maybe the
Bring the Kowloon Mobile? I mentioned it to him yesterday. I don't know.
Now, did you have to go and have a seat with him, or could you just call him?
Just text him. Call him.
What are we looking at?
Oh, is it we got Leaf Blower Mania?
No. We have a real...
Oh, well, that takes the fun out of it.
I know.
Really? It's not one we're going to play.
Well, but I'm saying the irony is...
No, there's no irony to it. It's just a stupid thing to come out of your mouth.
I didn't say anything. I'm pointing. You guys, we're in radio. You have to say anything.
I understand.
It's like us, you know, making fun of James Corden. So, you know, James Corden's grandmother died last week.
Oh, right. Right. So, that wouldn't concern me.
I know it wouldn't.
I didn't realize that stuff like that happened in Brookline.
Do you know that I believe, and I think I'm right, because I watched a documentary on it. Were you here, Joe, when there was that murder in Wellesley? Dan, do you know what I'm talking about? When there was that murder in Wellesley, it was like a long time ago. There was someone murdered in the woods, and it was like the guy got away with it because it was the first and only murder in the history of Wellesley?
No.
So the police department were completely unequipped to handle it?
Okay.
All right. I saw a documentary on it.
Hmm.
Because in Newton, it goes down. I mean, once you cross 90, by where Billy lives, I mean, it goes down. I mean, you better become strapped.
Oh, yeah, we live on the wrong side of the tracks, sir.
Yeah, I mean, you're very close to the very bad area.
Very, very bad.
I mean, you're right over. Yes. You're just one walk over the freeway to the shenanigans.
We had one of those rotisserie chickens, about two-thirds eaten, left on our driveway the other day. In its container. No top, though. We are in a dangerous area.
Well, you got those...
What?
You got those rotten kids.
I know. This is true. The kids. It's actually kind of sad how rotten they are.
Yeah.
High school kids.
Your house at one point was the house that they all smoked weed behind, right?
Two doors down.
Okay, two doors down.
Yeah.
Do they still do that?
No. I'm sure some of them vape, although I'm guessing that's dying out. Pardon the pun. It was the senior center area where they were all congregating.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, my goodness.
It's probably where they're getting their weed from.
I know. They've got all the medicinal weed. It's going around. All right. So you see last night.
Yeah.
You see a game that was, you know, it was a one goal game at one point, and then they took over. So this stretch of games coming up, you're looking for them to right the ship. This is not a hard stretch of games.
I'm looking for the Bruins. Well, all right. You know, you look at your opponents, and you have to compare to what you were playing before, and it's real. On the other hand, when I mean real, meaning, yeah, there's a real good chance to take advantage and garner some points. But let's not forget there were some games, i.e. Detroit, where they went into and they didn't.
Yeah.
Were prepared and they lost that game. I hope they learned a lesson from that. I think they did. They're such a good group of guys. I think they, hockey wise, I'm saying. The other thing, though, Freddie, is that they're getting guys back.
Right.
And that's, you know, you can't overstate. I mean, that's a big get. I mean, you're talking NHLers coming back into the lineup. You hope that Bergeron's back tomorrow. The feeling is that he will be. And then you start looking at Krug coming back. You know that Kevin Miller is
next week, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say days. Does that mean 7 or 5, 4? I don't know. They got two games back to back, Tuesday and Wednesday, holiday week. So,
yeah.
I mean, it feels like you're talking 5 to 6 days for big Kevin Miller to come back. And so you're there's that feeling of you can't expect those guys that are come back are going to do the job, but man, it sure makes you feel good. Meaning you can't just rely on them. But I think between the opponents and the team coming back and getting through this little, I don't want to call it a downturn, challenge, then I think you start saying let's gather 6 points this week.
We were discussing something this morning, and Captain Hot Takes to your left, mm-hmm. Mr. Joe Murray threw something out there.
Right.
Pastrnak looks great with Krejci. Obviously, they've got a chemistry, yeah. And
as opposed with Bergeron, where he's terrible. Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
But I mean, you know, Pastrnak obviously they've got something going.
Yeah.
And
they're checkmates.
They are. Yes. And didn't they win in like a championship together?
Like, yeah, they did. Yeah,
that's what I thought. Okay. So then there is, you know, the situation where for years they've been thin and moving people around. That second line, obviously, they've had a huge problem making that become a force. And Joe Murray had the idea, and Fred, of course, shot it right down. Do you think that they would ever split Bergeron and Krejci? Like move it to where Marchand, yeah, swap centers to where Marchand was not playing with Bergeron
and
anymore.
And I get the Pastrnak Krejci game. I get that. But last night, it looked good.
Well, remember, Krejci played with them last year. I don't have my notebook in front of me, how many games, but he played with them and he had a lot of points with them.
But it's all about on purpose splitting up Marchand and Bergeron because Fred, and I agree with Fred, I'm tailing off his take. Like, you would never, those are the two guys you would never separate, right?
Highly unlikely.
Marchand would retire.
I know.
3 assists last night.
He would be effective, but if everyone's healthy, there's no way they do that. Because why not just move like Pastrnak down to the second line?
Well, that makes sense, and
that's been talked about, and we know that Bruce will do that. Now, he hasn't done it for an extended period. He hasn't had the need or the ability to do that yet this year, but mm-hmm. last year he did move him around. Really what it ends up being is that Pastrnak gets double shifted, you know, more. That's what he ends up being more than anything. With the whole lineup being healthy, so all things being equal, Rich, I think that I would call it highly unlikely, but not so crazy. Because, you know, teams go through things throughout the year regularly, and I know that Bruce knows he can always go back to it, meaning mm-hmm. that pair. So now if you move Bergeron and you've got him with DeBrusque and somebody else, because it's not Heinen now. We still have that right wing. You know, Coyle is best served as the 3C slot. And right now you like Bjork and Heinen with them because of the speed that they bring. And they seem to get each other right away. And that's called chemistry, right?
All right. Let me ask you one real quick. Okay, because Pastrnak's a left-handed shot. He's a right wing.
No, Pastrnak's a right shot and he plays right wing.
I thought he was a left-handed shot.
No, that's DeBrusque.
It says right here he's a left-handed shot.
Pastrnak?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm learning something new sitting here with you.
Well, screw you, Jaffy. I'm looking at a roster right here, and I thought, and I was like, oh, I didn't think he was a left-handed shot.
He's a right.
But I'm looking at it.
Marchand's left.
That's an ESPN website. Right. Maybe that should tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, I was looking at it because I was thinking about who would fill in on the first line, and I was going to make the statement, does it have to be a right-handed shot?
No, it doesn't. ESPN on top of things.
It does not have to, my friend. My good friend.
Why the hell does it say he's a left-handed shot? Well, you just made me look dumb. Dump all of this.
It's because, once again, this is the station that has an awful Barry Melrose superimposed crowd behind him with 7 different jerseys for 20 seconds tonight.
By the way, I looked at a roster today because Murray was making... I'm explaining myself. I was looking at a roster today because Murray made the statement, if you move Bergeron, if you move Pastrnak down, who's going to take the right wing? Mm-hmm. And so I looked at the possible right wingers, and it said Pastrnak was a left-handed shot. which I didn't think of.
I'm sorry.
They also told me the Bruins won 5-2 last night. They won 5-1. So.
And
hanging on every goal. Dude,
just telling you.
ESPN wants to get back in, by the way, next TV contract the next 2 years. That's the word.
They're trying to get back into hockey?
Oh, yeah.
A long way to go, man. I mean, their coverage is embarrassing. Admit it, it's embarrassing.
Because they don't have it right now.
Well, but who would be on that top line? Like, if they hypothetically could do that. And is there anything to Bergeron maybe not playing with them to try to get back to health? I mean, we know that last year in the Stanley Cup final, he got outplayed by Ryan O'Reilly. Like, that, just to me, like, this is a guy that I think they should nurse and maybe give time off. So if you were to move him around, who would you see at that right wing?
Well, you know, they tried Coyle, and I don't think it was bad, but I do think he's best suited as the third-line center. That makes your team much more complete, incredibly more competitive. We're back to having that. I mean, you know, here's the thing. Is it Carson Kuhlman, let's say, when he's healthy, and you put him on the right, and you have DeBrusk on the left? Is there enough there? I mean, Heinen has shown perhaps the best offensive ability the best offensive ability. Now, he is a left shot, Fred. That, you'd be correct saying that, and he can play the right side.
It says here he's a right shot now.
But as the roster is constructed right now, gentlemen, I'm guessing it would be Heinen or Kuhlman, but we're still back to that. So we're still back to that, and I don't want to call it a conundrum because they still went and they did a nice job, and they had Marcus Johansson, and that kind of brought a huge amount of depth to the team last year for the whole playoff run, but they still had the question on that top six, the number two right wing. That's where they're still at, and if they don't make a move, they're going to probably do the jigsaw puzzle of seeing which piece fits the best as the season continues to go on. But, you know, I'm guessing it's either 43 in Frederick or Carson Kuhlman.
What'd you think of DeBrusk's return last night?
Well, he had the jump right away. He had that breakaway.
That was almost there. Almost got
that's
it right between the wickets.
That's almost not fair.
I know. That would have been an awesome way to come back.
Because you're like, you know. What did I think? I liked the energy. I thought it was good. I thought the team did a really good job as a whole of boxing out, of letting Tuukka see almost all the shots. Well, it was 25 of 26. And now it's four games in a row against the Devils that Tuukka has given up two or fewer. I think it's something like three goals or four goals now that he's given up total in those four games. So he's locked in. The team got locked in. They blocked a lot of shots. They broke the puck out well. Specifically, we saw a lot of good out of the Coyle line. I did. So I saw more good out of Heinen and Bjork. I thought that DeBrusk had jumped. I actually thought, and Brett Ritchie had jumped too. He's excited to be back in after 2 weeks out of the lineup. A good team for the Bruins to play with guys coming back in. And to your point earlier, when we started the week in general, good challenge. Doesn't mean they're easy, but it's a different challenge than going against Washington
Capitals. Like Mark Grace, when he was having a slump, he'd have sex with a fat woman. Now, I don't, you know that?
True story?
You never listened to Jim Rome?
Slump bust and
Gracie repping the slump bust.
You worked for him, right? Was you worked for Jim Rome?
No, I worked for Mitch Albom.
Mitch Albom, there you go.
Albom. He has huge ears. He covers them with hair, so you don't think he has them. No, he used to always go, he would always go Travis with the facts. Jim, you're going to get me fired from work. Crazy with the slump bust. Doing it with fat chicks. Crazy.
Regrow your drug-free lettuce.
That man could take a segment and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it.
The suds.
You know, he wrote out every word he said on that show.
It sounds like it.
Can I ask? He's been doing it for so long, right?
Just went to the Radio Hall of Fame, yep.
Him and Kevin and Bean and Ryan Seacrest and John Tesh all made the Radio Hall of Fame.
My kids left the radio on a certain station.
Us, 98.5.
No, it was Sirius XM. And they left it on, and I hadn't heard Seacrest. I listen to Seacrest, and I heard him doing the show. And I was like, really? This is good radio?
Sounds so natural. Sounds like he's doing it live, doesn't it?
Oh my.
Like real live.
He does a morning show in LA live.
Uh-huh.
But he must do it in New York because then he does.
Yeah, he does it out of New York. He must.
No. He does it in Los Angeles. He has a radio show in Los Angeles, but
no,
he
but he's on with Regis and Kelly,
which I think is Los Angeles, isn't it?
No, that's New York.
Oh, it is? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
He
used to be out in L.A.
Because
he
was on Kevin and Bean's final show, because I actually listened to it. And he was brought... That guy works like 40 hours a day. He's going to die young. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Out at center right, Marchand with speed, 2-on-1 over the line right side. He's got a trailer, goes across, Pastrnak, he scores! David Pastrnak rolls up the sleeve, a one-time rocket from the near circle, 2-0 Bruins.
985, the Sports Hub, we're touching Rich, Billy Jaffe in studio. We have tickets to give away, depending on your clock. It looks like in under 8 minutes, but we're on a delay.
What's he on pace for?
Pastrnak?
Yeah. Like, I'd like to see what he's on pace
81.
For.
He's got 19 goals in 21 games.
Okay, so yeah, he's on pace for 80.
It's
a little under 80. Yep.
Like, yeah.
76.
76.8 or whatever it is. You're right. It's amazing. Like, his accuracy this year has been, he absolutely has worked on it.
That shot right there that we just played? Oh, my God.
Well, both of them. I mean, that was not a great defensive play by Taylor Hall. He didn't check off and gap up at all, but what a bomb. What a bomb! And then the shot from the point of the power play. He literally was able to take three strides into it.
Mm-hmm.
Not fair. He's got it going right now. He's right up there with Stamkos and Ovechkin with his release on the one timer. It's either 11 or 12 now of his goals this year have been created on the one timer.
Wow!
Of his 19.
All right. So real quickly, since we're giving away Patriots tickets at 9:30. Joe Murray and I were talking, and Joe, you say, because people are going to think that I am being swayed, that you tell the people what happened.
The conversation about the article about the AFC quarterbacks?
Yes, just
currently?
Very quickly, yes.
Manish Mehta came out with an article that has the top four, ranks the top four quarterbacks in the AFC East. I don't know, Rich, do you want to take a guess on who's at the top of the list?
Manish Mehta, he's going to put Sam Darnold at the top.
Okay. Do you know the rest of the...
I'll guess. Sam Darnold, Tom Brady, Josh Allen, and then whoever they're throwing in there from Miami.
No. Josh Allen second, who is the AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Josh Allen got that. Wow. He did have a great game.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick third.
Okay, all right.
Who is playing better right now than Tom Brady.
And you know what? Then dumb people are going to get all riled up about
it's
it.
It's not
and gonna
dumb. Because,
and...
Joe, is he wrong? Right now.
The last 3 weeks, no.
Come on.
The last 3 weeks, no.
Tom Brady has not had one single game worse than what he did against the Patriots.
The
Sam Darnold against the Patriots.
The last 3 weeks.
I Tom Brady's the best quarterback out of everybody on this list. But of late,
based on play, that list is accurate.
Of late this season, if you just look at this season,
Rich, that's the point.
I mean, we know where Manish is headed here, but I do think Darnold's playing the best at the moment.
He is.
Are you out of your mind this season?
No, the moment.
You don't understand the point. Over the last couple of weeks, if you were ranking the quarterbacks, Sam Darnold has played the best.
Are we including the game that the Patriots played the Jets? Is that in that couple of weeks?
No.
Because you throw that in there and everything gets skewed.
That was only three games ago, right?
So how recent are we? The last two games?
This is a very circular argument you're making. Is that we've told you now twice what the criteria is.
Okay, I want to see how he phrases it. Because that's, I mean, if he just says, over the last week, who was better?
No, he said, as of right now. As of right now.
So what is he including?
Sunday, say.
Last 2 weeks.
Okay.
Last 2 weeks, Brady hasn't been.
Well, then that's the dumbest list ever.
That's not my list. It's
like,
his list.
Like, who did? Then you know, you just go, who did great this week?
Okay. Yeah. But it's true, right, Joe?
How do you feel, Billy? You're a quarterback guy? Get pretty
I am,
unbiased here.
I want to listen to you guys go at it.
Joe, is it wrong?
It's crazy to say that Tom Brady isn't good, but in the last two weeks, Brady has not played well. Fitzpatrick's won two in a row besides losing this past week. Josh Allen had a great week, and Darnold had a really good week. The last 2 weeks, Darnold and Allen have played better than Brady.
If you put those guys into the Patriots system, let's play the hypothetical game. How are they?
The weapons are—they're not good enough.
Aren't good in New York.
Yeah,
offensive line in New York is terrible.
Do they find a way to win like Tom Brady?
I think with Josh Allen they could. Darnold's more talented,
But like, right now, he's not there.
Yeah, and Allen can move around, which I think they could do some things with. Fitz is just all the he couldn't do it. But he couldn't do it with this group.
Fitzpatrick's got like three games in him, where he'll like win you three games.
Let me ask you that. Now, I know that he hasn't played well, and I mean this seriously. Are these guys cerebral enough to play in the Patriot system?
Oh, I mean, they're nowhere.
Fitzpatrick
is... Fitzpatrick, but he's a big machine.
Yeah, right. No, Josh Allen is not... If you gave... But I agree with Joe. If you put Josh Allen on this team, they could still be successful. Darnold's the most cerebral of them, but he has very little game experience. Mm-hmm. So he would never be able to pick up what's going on. Brady's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Brady's getting away with just his mental understanding of the game right now. I mean, he's... Physically, he's not there.
And you also have to understand.
The offensive line is bad.
The offensive line is bad for the Jets.
But look who Sam...
And bad for the Dolphins.
What teams did Sam Darnold play the last 2 weeks?
I don't know.
Redskins and Giants.
Okay.
All right,
and
so
the
what?
The Patriots beat them, too.
And yep, and who
Brady
did the Patriots
struggled
play?
In both games.
Yeah, the Patriots played the Ravens, and they played the Eagles. No. I would say the level of competition is a little different.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, but if you go by play and how they played... Darnold threw four touchdowns last week.
I do like it because it is going to get people riled up, which is hysterical.
I can tell Rich is like pointing at us both like, you guys really think that these guys are better than Brady?
That's not the point. They've played better than Brady.
They have the last 2 weeks.
I do like how he says who's playing better right now.
Why is that bad? Because it's interesting. Because Brady's the greatest of all time, and he's being outplayed by a has-been in 2 second-year quarterbacks.
I mean, for the last two games.
Yes, and
when
that's
the Jets played nobody. The Jets have two of the worst teams.
Yeah, the Jets are one of the worst teams in the league.
No, they played two of the worst teams in the league.
And they're one of the worst teams in the league.
Yes, and the Patriots played good teams.
Okay, the Jets have... Name, besides Le'Veon Bell, one person that Sam Darnold can throw the ball to.
It's nearly impossible, Fred.
Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas. Come on, no one's going to even count that.
I know the tight end, Ryan Griffin.
If there's any
Ryan
kind
Griffin
of pick,
is an animal.
He's from around here. Yeah,
he runs like a 7 240.
He's a big dude. I went to a wedding with him.
So they have Robbie Anderson, Crowder.
Crowder,
the tight end that
Bilal
you named.
Bilal Powell, he's still on the team?
Bilal Powell. Bilal Powell's taking
How
some carries.
How many Jets can we name today?
I mean, yeah. Khalil.
Brandon Marshall still
Bill
kicking Mack, around?
Khalil. Reserve, though.
He couldn't play, so they put him on injured reserve, so he has to retire.
So is the Brickashaw Ferguson still around?
No.
Probably not, no.
Is he a Hall of Famer, though, you have to ask yourself?
Mm. Brickashaw Ferguson?
I'm wondering if...
Great name, though.
Brickashaw's one of the best.
He was named after a romance novel. A character in a romance novel.
Is there an apostrophe in that name?
There is.
Okay.
There is.
It's all I got for the offense of the Jets, though. I can't do it.
So there you go. And then Brady's got no weapons. Please, give me a break.
I did start Sam Darnold in fantasy this week. Aaron Rodgers, he was on a bye.
You played Darnold over Rodgers. There you go.
It worked. It worked out.
Oh, if you played Darnold last week,
I did. I have Aaron Rodgers, so I had, he was on a bye week. So.
I watched that whole game. Darnold made one horrible decision. But other than that,
against the Redskins.
Doesn't matter. It's interesting. You have the greatest quarterback of all time who, over the last 2 weeks, has been outplayed by those guys, regardless of competition. I mean, he was not good against the Eagles. I don't care who the Eagles are.
He really wasn't.
Of course he wasn't.
He had to throw it 47 times. He got rushed a bunch, and I know. Listen, I know. You're right. We're right. We're sticking to it.
It's an interesting argument. That's all. All right. Right now.
Should we get him on tomorrow just to piss off everybody?
Might as well.
We need the Patriot Protector on. We need Chris from Random.
But we're about to have DeBrusque and Billy. Sorry, Billy, that we veered off.
Hey, Billy, thank you very much.
No, he's going to stick around for DeBrusque.
Please stick around for
DeBrusque. Number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest. Can you stick around? Billy?
Can you?
Sure, I'll stay.
Are you pissed that we just talked about that?
I'm just taking it in. Not pissed at all. What would I be pissed about?
I don't know. You didn't have to do anything. To the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on the Cowboys this Sunday, courtesy of Dunkin'. This Patriots season, the pregame starts at Dunkin' for DD Perks members, because on game day, Dunkin' is offering Patriots fans 2 times the points on any size coffee. So don't just celebrate your team's success from the sidelines. It excludes cold brew, nitro, and frozen coffee. Participation may vary, limited time offer.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jake DeBrusk, he's healthy. He's back. I'm sure he enjoyed the sights and sounds of Trenton, New Jersey. If I'm not mistaken, is that where the arena is? Is in Trenton?
Newark.
Newark.
Oh, right. Newark.
Almost came out with a bang last night.
Well, he came out, but then he failed. Jake DeBrusk joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I'm getting everything wrong today. Billy Jaffe is in studio as well. From
Jake
Nessie.
DeBrusk is a left shot, just so you want to know. Okay.
All right. Okay, so I looked at the roster of the Bruins without thinking, and it said Pastrnak was a left-handed shot, and I said it, and now I won't even look at the Twitter, Ridge. But I would imagine people are giving me guff.
No. And for, no one is.
No, they don't care. They just don't care about the show. So, first of all, how are you feeling? You had a little jump last night. You feeling all right?
Yeah, feeling good. Almost scored my first shift there. And I had a couple good looks, actually, as the game kind of went along. So, obviously, it was nice to be back on the ice with the boys. And yeah, Pass is definitely a righty, just so you know. But, you know, I'm a little bit to be determined, it seems like, these days.
It's funny. You actually started as a righty, and then because your father, Louis, was a lefty, you went and changed to being a lefty when you were younger, correct?
Yes, that is correct. I kind of saw how he was shooting downstairs.
How old were you?
I want to say around 4 or 5, maybe. Okay. Yeah, pretty young. Like, this was like us just shooting downstairs in the basement. And yeah, I started off as a rash, just stayed that way. Probably would have made it more lethal.
What was your basement set up? Because I know that I've seen people who used to use the washing machine and try to shoot the puck into that. Like, what was your setup when you would practice in your basement?
Yeah, it was like it was like an unfinished basement, I guess, was probably the best way to say it. And, you know, we had two nets down there, and it was actually a pretty long hallway, so it was kind of nice in that aspect. But yeah, no washing machine or anything like that.
Actually, we have a nice setup at our house. It's only one net, but Jake, it's unfinished as well.
Yeah,
it's great for him. He can play down there for hours. He loves it. That's how it should be. Do that. Hey, listen, the bike rides when you were out, I've heard you gripe about it a few times. Not gripe, you know, comment about it. What was the hardest ride that they made you do, Jake, when you were recovering from this short absence?
Word gets around, hey?
Yeah.
I've been talking about this Aerodyne bike for the last couple of days. It's been, obviously, when you get injured and, you know, you have to get back in game shape and things like that. And I think we just played a 3-4 before I got injured, so I didn't feel like I was, out of shape. But, you know, they got me pretty good there. I think it was around 9 days in a row I was on that freaking bike. And,
how long would they make you go?
I don't know.
Sprints or endurance? Yeah,
it was both, actually. So I would do both. I would say the endurance is probably the worst. It was more like, 8 sets of 30 on, 30 off, you know, times 4 or something like that. And I've never done an aerodynamic bike in my life. You know, so to kind of
they're usually relegated to 90-year-olds' homes that are now turned into, I didn't know they still made those.
Those are the hardest bikes out there. They are.
But I didn't even know they still
made hockey them. Teams. Oh, hockey teams use them a lot now. A lot.
Right.
Oh yeah, they've gone from the upright electrics or whatever to more and more of these because it incorporates full body.
Well, if you want to and you want to get motivated, Jake, I take an amp cycle class from time to time, and they boom really cool music, and there's all these sweet lights. So if you're ever down, if you ever want a real challenge, you go there.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good.
All right, so I was reading an article about you and Pastrnak, and we've talked to you about your video game playing before, but I didn't know what to extent you were into this Fortnite. Now, I think it's from Bruins Daily, and they were writing that you were talking about how there's a superstition between you guys. Like, even when you're on the road, you guys will get your Nintendo Switches and hook up, and you'd be in separate hotel rooms, correct, trying to play, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, the one thing that worried me is where it said, we don't stop playing until we usually win, and sometimes it gets around 4 or 4:15, and we have to leave for the game. He doesn't let me nap unless we win. So are you saying that there's, like, the thing that you know, I'm sure naps are probably very advantageous to a guy who's about to play a very physical game of hockey.
I just read something in The Athletic about how the Bruins are all over their sleep schedule.
Yeah, now, is that something, have you ever, like, skipped a nap because of Fortnite and noticed at some point in the game, damn it, I probably should have, I could have used that nap today?
No, I think that quote's actually a little bit exaggerated, to be honest with you, but it's usually true. We try to win, a game, but I'm usually the guy who actually tries to nap. I think he does too, but I kind of cut it a little bit early. He does get mad at me, though, if we don't win, so that is true, but I think it's a little exaggerated, to be honest, but there's never been a time in a game where I'm like, oh God, I wish I didn't play that extra game of Fortnite or something like that. You know, like it's a routine now. So, it's one of those things that we kind of use just to relax, to, get our minds kind of set for, not thinking about hockey for a little bit, and then, go to war.
They blew up your spot and they gave your code name out. So now people know that they're playing you. So I guess you can say it. What's your code name?
No, that's my Be a Pro guy with Charlie. So Charlie got me into NHL. I think it's like an ESHL or something, EA Sports Hockey League. He's got some buddies from his school, and they need an extra guy. And, I'm pretty good at Chell, so he asked me to go on. And, they did. They used my name. So if you're playing against Debruska, that's me.
and Charlie McAvoy is who?
I think he's Kimbo Slice, I believe. He keeps switching his name up, but some of the names out there, guys, are pretty funny. Like, they're pretty bad. Like, I can't even say them on here, but, you could put whatever you want for the name pretty much without, swearing, but guys find ways, it looks like, to get around that, and it's kind of funny just to, make a player model after somebody or something like that. I think he's an enforcer defenseman, so he just runs around out there and blows guys up.
And by the way, there's nothing more Canadian than calling NHL Shell, like you just did.
Yeah. Well, that actually is the nickname for the video game, but yeah, true.
I thought you were like, because there's an option to play like the ECHL. And
no, it's a shell.
Thought he was like playing like low minors teams.
No.
Just to make things better.
Do you play yourself?
No, I don't actually. I'm not like the only time I play NHL or Chell is when Charlie texts me to play it. That's the only time I play.
There was, a team? I think it was Winnipeg that banned Fortnite from their players, or Vancouver. One of the
how
two.
Much would that suck if Vancouver? And I know that Cassie's probably not the kind of guy that would do that unless something got ridiculous. But how much? Like Pasternak, you said he's like really big into this. How much do you think it would affect Pasternak if you guys weren't allowed to play Fortnite anymore?
I don't know. I think it would definitely change a little bit, but I feel like it's not necessarily like an addicting thing. Like maybe for them it was or something. I don't know. Maybe it was just a team rule, but we use it to bond. We have different guys now kind of coming on to play here and there, and I think it's actually one of the most harmless things you can kind of have, except for if it gets to be where you're staring at a screen for about 8 hours, that's a little different. But if you're playing for one or two maybe or three, I don't really see too many problems with it, especially if you're just playing with your teammates. I think that it's a good bonding experience if you can play with each other or against each other. It's all fun, but obviously, teams had different rules of different things, and I don't know if it was Vancouver or what.
It was Van. Yeah, it was Van. It could have been Kibosh on it.
Did you ever play the plea?
The plea?
Yeah, you ever play the plea?
No.
Monopoly?
Monopoly.
Oh. Yeah, the plea. Chell?
It's the Chell, there's the plea.
Is that an American thing or what?
Yeah. The man,
Pac-Man, is that
no, the Gam, is backgammon.
I have actually dabbled the man. I have, yes.
All right. Okay, so you guys never get together and play like board games?
Actually, we do. The last board game I played was Pasta actually invites people over to his place, and it was like a check game, so I couldn't read any of the instructions.
Monopoly. Yeah,
it's the horse game, right?
It's a socialist monopoly. And I don't think you're the one who told us about this. Someone else did.
He did.
DeBrust
it? Pasternak did. And it's like a weird game about horses, right?
No, it's a socialist monopoly, yeah,
but,
like it is.
But it's about horses.
Right. Because there's no currency.
I don't know what the game is about. I still, to this day, don't know because I lost. Like literally three times in a row because I didn't understand it, and no one told me how to play the game. It was kind of fun, except for the fact that I was always the one who lost. So I haven't been invited back for that, by the way.
I'm sure you are broken.
By the way, I was, and we haven't talked to you in a while, and so I've been meaning to ask you. The photo came out of the, your Bruins Halloween party that you guys had, and obviously Patrice is, you know, Wayne, and his wife is Garth, and then Marchand is 11 from Stranger Things was great. Are you in that photo, and who are you in there?
I am, actually. There was two Black Panthers that were buzzing around. I was looking for a Spider-Man outfit that I could find, but, you know, I went in my fashion as last minute and went to Halloween Party or Halloween City, whatever it's called, on Newbury with Bjorkie, and we were trying to figure out, like, something to do together. We ended up just going as two Black Panthers. I have no idea why. I mean, it's a great movie, don't get me wrong, but it was more or less a minute. There's some good costumes out there. Obviously, there is every Halloween, and but yeah, I was a little disappointed to go Spidey this year. That's on me, boys.
Is that Chara in the Dumb and Dumber costume with Bacchus?
No, that's not Chara. No, that's I think he went with his wife, to be honest, for Dumb and Dumber. That's not Z.
Well, listen, oh, okay. Well, what was Zdeno? Because I'm looking for there's one really tall Joker. Maybe that's him.
Yeah.
There's about four Jokers in there. I don't know if he was a Joker, to be honest. I think he was like not Ant-Man, but I think he was like a bee or something. I'm not 100% sure, but it was some sort of thug.
All right.
I don't really remember, to be honest, boys. But, like
Eastern European superhero that no one's heard of before.
Yeah, it's called Socialist, man. He has all the bread. Jake DeBrus very into controversial political organizations from the 60s.
Oh, my God.
Going as a Black Panther. All right. Jake DeBrus, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Thanks for having me on, boys. I need a touch and rich bump. I need it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's get it going.
You almost had it. First 5 seconds in.
Well, you didn't talk to us, or else that goes in.
That's right.
All right, exactly. Jake.
Thank you so much
you,
for the time.
Thanks,
all right, we'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have on the way.
We were just wondering if you could send someone over to just sort of, like, tell them to f*** off.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
I have to ask you right away. Scott Zolak.
Yes, sir.
Word has it you think that Antonio Brown is coming back to the Patriots.
Oh, I mean, it was a weird day yesterday. We'll leave it at that. Like, there's some chatter.
There's no way he's coming back.
I don't think he is.
Okay, so you don't think
I don't.
He is. Okay,
no.
All right.
No.
There's no way they can bring him back after what he did.
It's amazing the power of what one tweet or one post on Instagram.
I'm a mess. Oh,
I know everyone wants him back. Hey, not yet.
He jumped the gun.
Who's premature ejaculation.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, I know that obviously Brady wants him back, and everyone seems to, you know, Edelman, like, loves his little post. There's no way they would bring that guy back, and if they did, whatever bad thing happens once he gets there, it's on them.
I mean, what he posted, what he said about Mr. Kraft, I don't know.
If you're Kraft, I mean, you're a billionaire. You don't need, you can't, why would I bring someone back to badmouth me like that?
To win more football games. That's the only reason. Not just because, wow, you know what, we love him.
I know to win more football games, but there's a certain point where you're like, your pride takes over, and you're like, screw this guy.
Yeah,
but
you're the Jets. You become the Jets.
That's just my. That's right.
You see Manish's new rankings.
It was great. Yeah. Joe and I agree. Over the last couple of weeks, it's absolutely true.
You put Josh Allen ahead of Tom Brady.
Last couple of weeks, he was the AFC Player of the Week.
He was this past week.
This past week.
Well, how many times did you get it, Joe?
Like twice.
By the way, Jim Louth.
One time. Beal says it's only one time. I swear to God, I won that thing twice.
Jim Louth was telling me how you made his friend a football fan, and I never saw you play. And he was telling me about I got a lot of respect for you, the antics on the field. You would pull out an arrow out of your back.
Yeah, that was playing at the Georgia Dome because I hit Brisby on a slant for a long sucker, about 66-yarder. I went, kneeled at the 50, took an arrow out of my back, and shot it straight up in the air to put a hole in the new dome.
Okay, and then what was the other thing he told me?
Marcellus goes, get over here now. Stand right here. Never again.
And he said, finger guns. You should do that in front of.
He said finger guns were that you.
I used to shoot finger guns.
Yeah, that I've seen. I've seen videos of you doing that.
That you did a bow. That you did a bow on the sidelines. Well,
I took the helmet off. I didn't swing it at anybody or hit anybody. I looked around. I didn't see any flags. Went to 50 and then took the bow.
You know what? I just gained a lot of respect for you. That's fantastic.
Dude, I just put it all out there.
Yeah.
Hey, I enjoyed playing.
And even especially with Parcells.
What's wrong with you? What the hell are you shooting? What are you, shooting arrows?
Garnacchia was the head coach when you did the bow, right?
When I did the bow, yeah. Guy? Interim head coach. Yeah.
Oh, he seems like a guy with a sense of humor.
Oh, see, I'll tell you what, he does have one, though.
Oh, does?
Yeah, he actually does.
I have no joke. I'm not a judge of character. All right, what do you guys got going on today?
We got a lot of football. I got a comment on our stupid intern. We found out some things about our interns. We're pretty scared.
It's not a comment about the intern, though. This is his Jeter take?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is the same guy who suggested the movie Joker?
No, that's
the other one.
Oh, we got something there, too.
It's his favorite movie.
So he has his own podcast, actually, or his own show.
But Zone wants to talk about a baseball take that the intern had.
Okay.
It's the dumbest thing ever. Zone never wants to talk baseball.
Never. Don't you dare say about this guy.
All right.
And Burt Breer's in studio at 10:50.
All right.
You know what? I think he was getting on a train in New York this morning.
I saw that.
I hope he's not down there and doesn't know he's not coming in. Or
I think he was coming back.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
He's a man on the run.
It's on time.
It's my man.
You very rarely get blown off by Burt Breer. I'll give him that. That's the one guest that we very rarely get blown off
by. He'll get his money.
All right, that's right. All right, that'll do it for us. Everyone have a wonderful day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.